Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to be with you wherever you are worldwide, and we thank you for listening in, and I know we have listeners from all over the world, and so we are glad to be with you once again. And I thank the Lord that the good news is Jesus is alive and well. And you know how we know that the Bible is God's Word and it is absolutely true, and God's the living God, and how we can know Him is through the Bible itself, because it's a book of evidence to show the fact that God is moving on the earth and what He is doing, and that He is alive and well. It's a book of evidence about Him. The Bible says, the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it says the faith, the Word of God, is the source of our faith. And the Word of God gives us the evidence of God. And so as we read the Word of God, well, we see the evidence of Him working all around, and the evidence is out there, and it's as clear as the sun in the skies. But the Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And we're going to talk about some of the evidence today. But first of all, I always enjoy, Brother Al has a short report to make today, and so I give it to him right now.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and a good morning, good afternoon. I got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying. I was going to say, it's good to see you today, and what a beautiful day we have outside. Reminder that you can check out Bruce Musselman's webpage at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can find out more about Bruce Musselman, see some of the various resources that he mentions from time to time, and you can even hear Bruce singing on that page. So just be sure and check that out, whereisgodsword.com. And looking at some of the things that are happening in the world today, there was a story that caught my eye in Laurel, Maryland. There's a church that they wanted to open or hold services in a coffee shop. Now, it wasn't just any coffee shop. The church had opened this coffee shop, and they served coffee there 6 days a week, and on Sunday, they had church services. You know, the church owned the coffee shop. Now, it sounds a little unusual, but you know, when you meet in a hotel or a storefront or something like that, I can see where the attraction would be. Our church meets in a hotel, and we've actually joked about opening a coffee shop so that we could use it as a place to meet. And so the church did this, but they opened the coffee shop in an area of town that really, quite frankly, needed a representation of the gospel, because it was a not one of the better sections of town. So it was a good way for them to get into that part of town. Now, under the law, if you have a place that allowed for public meeting, the church should have been allowed to be in there. And under federal law, there's no legal way that a city could discriminate against a church meeting in a place that allowed other public meetings. And they actually allowed things like movie theaters and things like that in the area, where you have a large group of people gathering together. They could have health clubs, comedy clubs, schools, theaters, movie theaters, things like that in this area. Now, when they applied to go in there, the community, the city of Laurel, Maryland, came after them and said they could not have church services in the coffee shop. And if they did, they would impose steep fines that would be assessed daily every time they had services there. And they challenged, and of course Alliance Defending Freedom is involved in this, and the city began changing laws on this. And of course, this, in terms of how does this tie in with the Bible? Well, Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And we are hated, aren't we, of the world, because of the gospel message and because of the Savior that we stand for. And the Bible says that this will happen. And when we look at this, we have, you know, it's one of those prophecies we don't like to think about, but a prophecy. He said in here in John 15, verse 20, he says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." So, it continues, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." And that's what the world does, doesn't it? He said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also." And I think that's a fulfillment of Jesus' words, isn't it?
I think so. You know, it's amazing to me, even in the United States with all the laws that we have and set up for freedom of speech and religion, how the other side, the anti-Christian side, wants to say, do something against you. Like my friend Jesse Jones has a church in Maple Heights, and somebody said in the council or somebody in the city government said he couldn't put a cross on his church. Isn't that amazing?
Offend the Muslims.
Yeah, in the United States of America. But that's the way it goes. I mean, so you always expect that. And the Lord says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad.
Amen.
For great is your reward in heaven." So if you're being persecuted today, the level of persecution will only increase the amount of blessing that God will reward you for today. And, you know, people are dying for their faith all over the world today, for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our scripture verses is found in Isaiah 59, 20, and 21. And it's great, great prophetic scripture verse. It says, "The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." Now, the Redeemer, you got to understand this. Somebody had a debt, and if they couldn't pay the debt, then back then they were sold into slavery. But if they had a relative that had money, that relative had the right to legally buy them out of slavery. The slave owner had to give them up, so he became the Redeemer, but it had to be a relative. Now, Jesus Christ, we're in the bondage, and we're in the slavery of sin, and not only that, without him, we must pay the debt, which we can never pay for our sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the debt for us so that we are no longer under the curse of the law, and we are freed from that, and we can meet God freely and with joy, and all our sins paid for and forgiven by Jesus, who is the Redeemer, see? "Now, as for me, this is my covenant with them." And it says there, "The Redeemer shall come to Zion." Zion would be Jerusalem. "Unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." So, you know, for God to bless us is, first of all, we must turn from transgression. We must be willing to repent of our sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer, see? Now, it says, "To them that turn from transgression in Jacob," it's sin in Jacob. So Jacob is talking about the Jewish people. And, you know, today people say, talk about the Zionist movement, Christian Zionism. This is not new. This started with the Old Testament. This is taught all through the Bible that God would bring the Jewish people back. He made an everlasting covenant with them that has never been changed. Anybody that believes the Bible believes this. Now, there's people that call themselves Christian that don't believe this, but this program is about believing the Bible. And we have a Bible, and we believe what it says, and the Bible teaches that. And so eventually God is going to forgive and redeem Jacob, bring him back to the land, and give him all his blessings and all the land God has promised. As for me, the next verse says, "This is my covenant with them." That is with Jacob. That's the Jewish people, saith the Lord. "My spirit is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Now, this, a lot of people understand why we make such an issue about words. We make it because all through the Bible, God makes an issue about words. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And you see that God puts great importance on this. So he says, the words that I have given you will last forever. It says, shall not depart out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed from this generation forever. Now, today, evangelicalism and many of their seminaries, and this is infiltrated into the Bible schools, they do not believe that God would preserve his very words. Now, sometimes they'll say, well, he preserved them in a lot of translations, but no, he preserved his words perfect and pure. So we are to believe that somewhere God has his preserved and perfect words. Now, in the seminaries today, they talk about, I hear this, and this is the most ridiculous, unscriptural statement you can imagine, and they have perverted the scriptures to say this. They'll say, we are reverent biblicalists with unquestioned loyalty to the originals. Well, you never find anything like that in the whole Bible. The originals were destroyed when the Ten Commandments were restored. God made them again when the scrolls of Isaiah were put in a river and they were destroyed. Jeremiah's were burned up and they were destroyed. But every time they're preserved again. Jesus said in three different Gospels, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then he said, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words. In other words, the people he prayed for in the whole world, he said, I've given them my words. My words, those words that I gave them. And he gave them the words that the Father gave him. And so we are to believe that God has preserved his perfect words. Now, what was the gift of tongues? Well, if you read in the book of Acts, and you know, they have Corinthian tongues, and Paul in there said, well, you speak in tongues, but he talks about it in the chapter that they didn't understand what was being said. And he says, when I pray, I'll pray with my spirit and my understanding at the same time. And he says, when I speak it, he says, if you speak and they don't understand what you're saying, what good is it? If people go to war, he says, and a trumpet is blown and they don't know what the meaning of the trumpet is, what good is it at when they go to war, he says. In other words, he is saying that he says it doesn't do anybody a blessing if they don't understand what is said. Now, what was the gift of tongues? Well, if you read the book of Acts, and I cannot imagine how people can misunderstand it, but they do. It mentions 13 different languages. God gave the apostles, he said, the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth and teach them new things. And he said that then he gave the apostles the gift of tongues. And not only were they given the words, but they were given the translations of those words. And the translations were mentioned there on the day of Pentecost. They were given the translations, and it mentions the languages. And so God said he preserved those words, and those words were preserved. It wasn't preserved in some scholarship union. By the way, in the Old Testament, they had a special group that was the Levites who were commanded to protect and keep the word of God. And they were a special priesthood. But in the New Testament, we are a royal priesthood. The body of Jesus Christ that loves Jesus Christ, they are the ones that are the protector and keeper of the Word of God. And more than that, it says in the New Testament, in another place, it says this, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the church is not the truth. But it is the pillar and ground that is what the truth is upheld and built on. That's the pillar and ground. It's the church of the living God. It's not a false church, but the true church will have the truth. And the church will be the one, it says here, that upholds the truth. And so we see it through history. Now, a lot of people, they haven't even studied the history of the true biblical churches. And God has said he would preserve his words in the churches. First of all, he would preserve it in this passage to the Jewish people. And so they were perfectly preserved the word of God. Jesus criticized the Pharisees for misinterpreting it and adding to it, but he never said that they perverted it in the sense that they had changed the word of God. He put his faith and trust in the Hebrew Masoretic text, and he said, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And so a jot or a tittle is not a part of a Greek letter. It's part of a Hebrew letter. And so it's the Hebrew text that God has promised right here that he's made a covenant with Jacob. That's the Jewish people, that they would always have the true text. So the King James Bible is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text that was preserved and approved by the Lord Jesus Christ, not on the corrupt text of Alexandria, Egypt, which the modern versions and the modern perversions are based upon. And then in the New Testament, it was the church of the living God. And so the churches were always there. And when Constantine came along, he made a mixture and he brought some of the corrupt churches together with the secular world. And then he ordered 50 Bibles that were made. And this is well known in textual history. And these Bibles were corrupted Bibles coming based on a corruption of a revision of the text by Origen, who corrupted the text and revised it to make it acceptable to the philosophers in Alexandria, Egypt. But the true text continued on. And we have shown that where you have been taught many times, preachers have been taught in school, this verse shouldn't be in, and there's questionable manuscripts. And we have got over and over in our program and showed that early church fathers had based the readings that line up with the King James. They had those readings. They quoted those readings. And how many times have we talked about 1 John 5:7? I'll give you an example. They had a big discussion in Carthage about 250. And in that discussion, they appealed to 1 John 5:7. There's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And we've gone in this program over and over showing that the verses in the King James line up. And so down through the ages, the true churches had the Word of God. And so the Roman church, they, first of all, they started to follow philosophers and that were thinking, basing their ideas on pagan philosophy. And I give you, for instance, Origen introduced the idea of purgatory, and he got it from Plato. He said, Plato says, I'm not good enough for heaven, not bad enough for hell. Therefore, there must be an intermediate place. Well, he got that from him. And Paul calls Greek philosophy foolishness. And then the history books will all say that Augustine was a Platonist. And so he picks up the idea of purgatory. But the Bible doesn't teach anything. It is an outrage and blasphemy against the blood of Jesus to teach that. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And you know, the Holy Spirit will show us sins that we need to confess, but brother, I don't believe we confess them all because we don't even see all the stuff we do wrong. But the blood of Jesus Christ will cover everything. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Salvation is complete. And salvation is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you're willing to accept him as your Lord, that means He's the boss. You get off the throne of your life and put him in charge, then he is in charge. Now, the Jewish people had the true text, and so the Roman church began to destroy that, and they began to attack the Jews. Now, you know, today I have read history books, and so many, even Christians writing history books, they do not know their own history. And there is in Jerusalem, first of all, in the triumphal entry, it shows that many, many Jewish people came out and believed that Jesus was this Messiah and followed him. And then at Pentecost, you see thousands more came to Jesus. In the church at Jerusalem, the first church there probably had 50,000 Jewish members. And at first, it was a question whether Gentiles should join. But at that time, why did some of the Jews turn away from Jesus? Well, for one thing, the people that led them to turn away from Jesus, the Romans had conquered Israel, and now the Sadducees, particularly, many of the Pharisees also, the Sadducees controlled the temple in Jerusalem, and they said, we'll lose our place for one thing, and they were envious. In other words, they were collaborators with the Roman government, and they were the ones that led the Jewish people to turn away from Jesus. But thousands of them accepted him. I understand recently, and I'd like to get the book that the professor in Jerusalem had written, a book of the early Christian Jewish church. And so the Jews spread the gospel to the whole world. But finally, Constantine took over the church. He was still worshipped as the supreme pontiff of the pagans, worshipped as the incarnation of the sun god. And then when finally Gratian dropped in around 250, 350, at that time he cut off all the funds from the pagans. And over in Rome, a cardinal bishop in Rome is known for fixing up the graves of the apostles. He united the ancient church of the ancient religion of Rome with Christianity. And immediately a persecution started, and he went over and sent a group over and stoned to death people from a church that did not accept this meeting. And so the Roman church was set up at that time, and they eventually tried to get rid of the Bible, because if you read the Bible, and one Roman Catholic leader says millions have left the Roman church because they read the New Testament, they read the Bible, see? And so all this time, persecution takes place. And there's persecution of the Jews. And at that time, Bishop Demasa says, the Jews are permanently cursed. All the blessings God gave to the Jews are now fulfilled in the Roman Catholic Church. That is a lie. Later on at the Council of Ephesus in 431, this was ratified. And so after this, the persecution of the Jews, and says they were permanently cursed forever. That is a lie. The Bible teaches against that from cover to cover. When Jesus was born, the angel said to Mary, it said, Jesus will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And that means the house of Jacob had to be there forever for him to rule over. And so the persecution was done against the New Testament church and the Jews. And hundreds of thousands of people were slain. And one of the reasons was to get rid of the scriptures. Now today, this Bible Babel with all these versions coming out, they're based on the corrupt text that the Roman church has been basing. And just up till recently, former Roman Catholics told me that their priest said if they look at a King James Bible, they would be excommunicated and damned to hell forever. Well, that's how they felt about it in the past. And they were to tempt and destroy. But all through the ages, they had the text, true text. And when the King James translators came along, they translated from these ancient texts that God had given to them, not only the original Greek text and whatever the New Testament was written in, but translations of that text mentioned in the book of Acts. And so they were the best translators that ever were set up, and they translated in the Bible into our authorized King James Bible. And you know, some egotist out of operating out of a Coke machine in a scribe factory somewhere and says this isn't the right text. The body of Christ says no. The body of Christ today is the true priesthood of believers. And people that read the Bible every day continue to read the King James more than any other version. And the other versions come and go, but the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so you could trust in it. It is the Word of God. And it was given to us in the Old Testament by the Jewish people, and in the New Testament by the New Testament churches that God has preserved down to this ages. And today, you could go to nearly 90% of the Baptist churches, and they'll have a King James. And that's what you got to ask. Do you believe that we have the Word of God today in the King James Bible when you go to church? If the preacher hesitates on it, don't leave him alone. Don't give him any money and don't go there. But thank God we have it. James says you can look at the perfect law of liberty. And thank God we have it. And God says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said that. You're as sure of heaven as if you've been there a million years. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.